to feel a year older. Isn't that weird? Because we'll only actually be a day older, but we'll feel a year older. You know, it's... You want to know what makes me feel old, other than grandchildren? Is if you think about it, 2024. What happens if you take 50 years off 2024? It's 1974. I remember 1974. He was born in... I remember 1974. There were some awesome songs we're still listening to today came out in 1974. Does that make you feel old? 50 years. Wow. Well, tomorrow is the start of a new year. 2024 is upon us. And hope dictates to us that a new year will mean a new start in life. Next door at the gym, there are people lining up there making New Year's resolutions that their body's going to be in better shape. I'm going to be scriptural about it. Paul writes, I buffet my body, which is what I'm going to do. It is buffet, isn't it? It's not, yeah, okay. But putting all your time, effort, and energy into a body that's going to break down, if you think about it, doesn't make any sense. It's like building an ice sculpture in the middle of a Queensland summer. It'll look good for a short time, and then it will go to mush. Because there's got to be more to life than getting a better body. I'd like a better body, but it'll come way later. You know, it's the start of a new year. It's a start, new start in life. People want a new start in life because they think whatever went wrong in the last year, we want to get better this year, don't we? Is that how we feel? So we make these New Year's resolutions, but I think we need New Year's revolutions, don't you? Like resolution. I mean, you know, it's gone by January 2nd. All the best intentions. I'm going to diet and I'm going to thin down and I'm going to, oh, there's a bit of chocolate. You know, that's how long it lasts. We think out with what didn't work, what didn't happen the way we wanted, and in with a new super successful you. Who's for that? Look, five of you want a more successful you. That's brilliant. So what does 2024 hold for you, for the church, for the nation, for the world? And can you trust God in 2024? I was praying about which scripture to use, and I wanted to use Psalm 121. It's up on the board here. Yes, I love this. I'm going to read the whole psalm to you. This is a really awesome psalm, and it's a great way to start the year. Let me read it to you. I lift up my eyes to the hills. From where does my help come from? My help comes from the Lord who made heaven and earth. He will not let your foot be moved. He who keeps you will not slumber. I love that. He's never down on the job. He's never sleeping when we need him. He's always there. Behold, he who keeps Israel will neither slumber nor sleep. The Lord is your keeper. The Lord is your shade and on your right hand. The sun shall not strike you by day nor the moon by night. The Lord will keep you from all evil. He will keep your life. The Lord will keep your going out and your coming in from this time forth and forevermore. Isn't that a wonderful psalm? What a way to start the year. Let's pray together. Lord, I pray that you would speak to us about this new year, that you would give us hope, you would give us a great sense of destiny. But above all, Lord, I pray that you would speak to our hearts about obeying you, because when we walk into our destiny with you, it is a sure thing. We just pray that you'll speak to us now in Jesus' name. Amen. It's the verge of the new year. It's a time for reflection on what's been going on and what's happened in the past. And so let me ask you, quite frankly this morning, where are your hopes and dreams for the new year? Whether they come true or not depends on the providence of God. Whether you see God's providence in your life depends on whether you're looking at it. So I really want to talk a little bit about where we're looking. I want you to be good looking. I mean, you know, looking good in 2024. Because some people try and change their body and work out a bit so that they can be better looking. But I want you to be a good looker. That's good Australian, isn't it? I want you to be a looker, a good looker. Because I believe this year is going to depend on how we see it a lot, how we perceive it. I hope for my hope for the new year has to always be in the Lord. And in order that you and I can achieve what God wants for us, we have to have clear vision of God's presence both in us and around us. And it requires that we look in some specific directions. I believe it requires a new look for the new year. So that's what I'm going to talk about today, a new look for the new year. Do you like the new look? I hope you have a new look this year that is going to be different to last year. So let's have a look at some of the ways we can look. The first way is, I think we should resolve to look back on the last year. Now, looking back is not always a bad thing, but it depends on how you look back. Most people look back and they look with regret. They look with grief. They look with shame. They look with sadness. But that's not how God wants you to look back. In 2 Corinthians 7 verse 10, it says this, "For godly grief produces a repentance that leads to salvation without regret, but worldly grief produces death." See, God does not want us looking back on a negative past. He wants us to look back through the eyes of Jesus. So don't despise your past, even the dodgy bits. Even the bits that didn't go. How many of you, everything went to plan in 2023? No hands, right? I remember saying that in 2021 when COVID hit and everybody's like, nope, nothing we planned figured out. But I mean, some of the things we planned in 2023 happened. Some are delayed, some aren't going to happen. But even the dodgy bits you can look back on and say, you know what? I can learn from that. I can grow from that. Romans 8:28 says, "And we know that God, for those who love God, all things work together for good, for those who are called according to his purpose." So all things work for good, even the bad things. How many of you have experienced bad things in the last year? Yeah. Some of you are struggling with sickness. Some of you are struggling with finances. Some of you are struggling with people. But even the dodgy things can be used for good. Everything, even the pain, the hurts, the regrets, the lost opportunities. Any victories you've had this year, you want to grow your faith for what God has for the next year. Any failures allow you to realign and set your sights on God. Kenny was talking earlier about planes because he's a pilot and Joe's a pilot. And my grandson, Reed, we've got him interested in planes and he didn't really get it, but he confidently proclaimed, "I'm going to be a pirate." We said, "Arr, you might have to work on that a little bit." But the thing about a pilot will tell you that if they take off from Maroochydore and they're only 1 degree off, they'll be about 60 kilometres out in the drink by the time they get to Sydney. You see, they've got to constantly realign. And so a new year is a great time to say, you know what? That wasn't so great. That didn't work out well. I sinned or I did something. It's my chance to realign and get it right. So even the bad things can realign. And of course, the good things build your faith, don't they? You don't just launch off the deep end and have incredible faith. What happens is it's built day upon day, week upon week, year upon year, decade upon decade. I have more faith now than I had a couple of years ago because God has consistently come through. And once you realize that he loves you and has the best for you, then you can just keep believing the Lord for great things because you know if you're in his will, they're going to happen. The second thing is to resolve to look upward this year. We live in a very pessimistic world. As the year winds to a close, the media reminds us of all of the negative things that have occurred. If you've been living under a rock, you wouldn't know this, but everyone else does. We have wars in Israel and the Ukraine that fill us with fear that they might escalate. Housing affordability is at an all-time low. Rents are at an all-time high. COVID is still lurking around. I got some post on Facebook that said, "Hey, COVID's outbroken again. You should get vaccinated." I'm going, "Yeah, I don't think so." But you know, but it's still around. It's not a thing of the past. It's still happening, right? And Greta tells us the world is heating up. Who knows what that'll do? And morality is plummeting even in the church. Instead of seeing hope and promise of what the future may hold, many, even in the church, are starting to fear that things will only get worse. You know? And I just think of, I don't know if you're a Jack Nicholson fan, but I just think of his line in that movie, you know, "Maybe this is as good as it gets." And people look at it and go, "Oh, man, the world's a mess. Maybe it's as good as it gets. Maybe it's all downhill from here." I think it should be uphill. It's so easy to see the negative, but don't look down, look up. See, God sees differently to how we see. If you've got a Bible there, open to 2 Chronicles 16, verse 9. This is one of my favorite verses because I love it because it says God is searching us out. Listen to what it says. "For the eyes of the Lord ranged to and fro throughout the earth to give strong support for those whose heart is blameless towards him. God is seeking you out. His eyes are ranging throughout the earth, looking for those who love him and giving them strong support. God sees it all. He knows it all intimately. He controls everything. His eyes see you. They even right now, they are looking for you to give you strong support. Strong support is the Hebrew word hazak, which means strength and courage. But listen to this. It also means to fasten or to seize upon or to cleave to. So what it implies is that God is not just looking throughout the earth to strengthen those whose hearts are fully committed to him. He is also looking throughout the earth to cleave, to latch onto, to join with, to fasten him, his incredible self to you, to make incredible things happen in your life. And 2024, I think, is an open door, don't you? If he's actively looking for us and we open our hearts to him, he latches onto us and takes us where he wants us to be. What an exciting way to live. What an exciting way to live. And if we get back to Psalm 121, I lift up my eyes to the hills, for where does my help come from? Comes from the Lord who made heaven and earth. I lift up my... So many people are looking down. It's time we lifted our eyes up, don't you think? In 2024, our perspective makes all the difference in the world. As people of God, we have to develop a spiritual vision that allows us to see beyond the veil of pessimism and negativity that the world produces and see our God still sits high on the throne no matter what else is going on. He still rules. I've been excited in the Bible reading plan to read Revelation, the end of Revelation. See, I've read the end of the book, folks. I know who wins, right? And Jesus wins. And the end of Revelation is just, if you want something to lift your spirits, okay, skip the tribulation stuff, that'll get you down, but get right to the heaven and new earth stuff, it will lift your spirits. I mean, God is still in control. Greta's not in control, God is. That's good news. He sits high above. Colossians 3 verse 2 says, set your mind on things above, not on earthly things. Romans 8 verse 5 says, for those who live according to the flesh set their minds on the things of the flesh. But those who live according to the Spirit set their minds on things of the Spirit. What are you setting your mind on this year? Coming into 2024, what are you putting in here? Because if you swallow all that negativity, then you're going to have a situation where your mind is just set on things below all the time. But God calls us to set our mind on him, which is above. The third thing is, to resolve to look inward this year. So we want to look back, we want to look up, we also want to look inward. Isaiah, if you read that incredible book, saw a vision of Almighty God. And as he looked upon the majesty and splendor of God, he could barely describe what he saw in his vision. His reaction was a totally human one. He began to look at himself in relation to God and realize how far short he fell. Isaiah 6 verse 5, and I said, this is Isaiah speaking, woe is me, for I am lost, I am a man of unclean lips, and I dwell in the midst of a people of unclean lips, for my eyes have seen the King, the Lord of hosts. Then one of the seraphim, which is an angel, flew to me, having in his hand a burning coal that he'd taken with tongs from the altar, and he touched my mouth and said, behold, this has touched your lips, your guilt is taken away, your sin is atoned for. See, Isaiah saw a vision of God, and his first thought was, man, I'm a mess. I am a sinful mess. Modern man is oftentimes far too arrogant for that. We have an excuse for all of our sin. Well, you know, if we saw God, well, there's God, yeah, okay, but he knows that I'm sinful and therefore it's okay. No, it's not. I think we need to, if we compare ourselves to God, we're getting a true perspective. Almost every person in the world is very inward looking. If you don't believe me, get on the road for 10 minutes. Everyone thinks about themselves. My wife says I'm completely sanctified and holy until I get behind the wheel of a car. I don't think that's true. I just think the world is full of idiot drivers. Perspective. But almost every person looks inward, but at what they want, what they desire, what they think they deserve. The way of the world is to look at self in comparison to others. But Christians should always look at themselves in comparison to the Lord. And when you do, you realize we deserve nothing. It's His grace that gives us all the blessing in our life. My greatest challenge this new year is not to straighten your life out, it's to make sure I'm living the life that God wants me to live. Isaiah had an angel touch his lips with a burning coal. And what we need is for the living God to touch our hearts with His living word. Do I hear an amen to that? Colossians 3, verse 16. Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly, teaching and admonishing one another in all wisdom, singing psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs with thankfulness in your heart to God. Are you thankful? Coming into 2024, are you thankful? Because the greatest sin of the Western world is an ungrateful spirit. You know, because we have so much, and yet we whinge and whine and complain, don't we? Am I the only one? No. But if you've traveled the world, John, you would know this, there is such heartache and pain and misery out there. We should be thankful for what we've got and be generous with what we've got, shouldn't we? Christian writer Vance Havner once lamented that many Christians, many churchgoers, sit and yawn over the truths which their forefathers shed blood for. Thus, the living faith of the dead has become the dead faith of the living. Let that not be us. Men and women have laid their life down for the Word of God. They've paid in blood for the Word of God, and we should not just disregard it and throw it away, because this is life to us. I'm praying that 2024 is a sterling silver year, a sterling silver new year. So how do you get the Word of God to dwell richly in you? How do you do it? Simple. You keep putting it in. You come every week to church and hear the Word. You get up every day, you read the Word, study it, learn it, even more, obey it, cherish it. Look inwards and build yourself up in your faith by absorbing the Bible into your soul. See, Hebrews 4 verse 12 says this, "For the word of God, the Bible, is living and active and sharper than any double-edged sword. It penetrates to the dividing of soul and spirit, joints and marrow. It discerns the thoughts and the intentions of the heart." The word of God cuts right to the quick. If you look inwards and don't like what you see, the word of God pierces you and discerns the thoughts and intentions that you have. It lays your soul bare. It allows you to refine your life. It allows you to clear out the dross and the rubbish in your life. How many of you have perfect lives? I'm putting my hand down because my life's not perfect. There's always stuff, isn't there? There's always stuff that mainly you're responsible for. We need to be people who take responsibility. We need to be people who say, you know what, yep, that's me. See, don't cover up your sin. Own up and allow and confess it and allow Christ to cover over your sin. That's how it should work. Psalm 12 verse 6 says this, "The words of the Lord are pure words like silver refined in a furnace on the ground, purified seven times." Now, silver, I'm praying for a sterling silver 2024. Silver is refined, okay? You don't just get it out of the ground and make something from it. You have to refine it. And the way they refine it, particularly in the ancient days, is they heat it up. And it's extreme heat. It actually turns into a liquid. And some of you have felt that over the last year. You've felt extreme heat. You've felt like, wow, you know, my life's just, this is terrible. My life is a mess. You know, I'm struggling with this sickness or with this problem or with lack of finances. And your life has been under extreme heat. If that's you, I've got good news for you today. That's how God refines you. He heats you up till it's super, super hot, and then all the dross, all the rubbish, all the junk floats to the surface, and then they scrape it away. You see this stuff here that's floating up? That's just junk. That's just odd stuff that's in there. The dross floats to the surface, they scrape it away. And they can do this up to seven times, as the Bible says. The ancient silversmith would do this up to seven times. Heat it up, scrape the stuff away. Heat it up, scrape the junk away. Heat it up, scrape the dross away. Up to seven times. And you might say, well, how does the silversmith know when it's finished? It's simple. He looks at it, and if he can see his own reflection in it, it's done. And Christ is like that with you. He will heat you up. He will scrape that away. Heat you up, scrape that away. How does he know when you're refined? He looks and he sees if he can see his own reflection in your life. And if he can, then you're just right on a breakthrough right there. We were reading, Kenny mentioned earlier, Malachi 3:3. He will sit as a refiner and purifier of silver, and he will purify the sons of Levi and refine them like gold and silver, and they will bring offerings to the righteousness of the Lord. God is refining you. Maybe he's refined you in the last year, but I'm going to pray this year that the refining, we get to the reflection bit. Is anyone with me? We've had enough refining. Thank you very much. But he'll tell you when it's done, not you. As we look inward right at the start of this year, let's offer our hearts to the Lord and allow him to purify us. It might be painful. It might be uncomfortable. How many of you know heat's sometimes uncomfortable? You know, heat can be good. On a cold day, heat's very nice. But when you accidentally lean on a barbecue plate that's on fire, it's not so nice. So heat can be very uncomfortable. But if he purifies us, then he will also pour his blessing into that pure vessel. So let us truly center our lives on God's word and regain the wonder. Ralph, I was thinking about this just yesterday in my quiet time. Ralph Waldo Emerson observed that if the constellations, if all the stars and the skies and the galaxies and all that sort of stuff, if they only appeared once in 1,000 years, what an exciting event that would be. Can you imagine? Hey, look, it's 1,000 years, but tonight the stars are coming out. The problem is, you see, the stars come out every night and we just get used to it. We get complacent. We barely look. We barely wonder. We look up, oh, yes, a few stars. Have you stopped to think about how amazing those things are? We don't because it happens every night. Gypsy Smith said, don't lose the wonder. God's mercies are new every morning and his word is fresh every day. In 2024, we need to not lose the wonder of who God is, because he's wonderful and he loves us. The fourth thing is to resolve to look outward this year. Now, it's interesting to read in the text back in Psalm 121, the psalmist could have looked at the world around him, but he chose to look to the hills, to look up, to look to God, and he chose to look outward. He recognized that God never sleeps and always is looking out for him to protect him and to prosper him. Remember that verse 7 and 8, the Lord will keep you from all evil. He will keep your life. The Lord will keep your going out and your coming in, this time forth and forevermore. We can trust him with our lives because he will keep us. That's what God is about. So whatever you do, wherever you are, going in, going out to church, workshops, you can have the Lord with you. And what's more, he can prepare the way for service for you. Wouldn't it be awesome to have a life that is reflected in the lives of others so positively? Wouldn't it be amazing? I want to live a life so that when I die, even the funeral director's upset. That's the sort of life I want to live. That's because I don't pay him. That's right. Take the pennies from your eyes or whatever. But you know, a lot of people live a life for themselves. And when they die, you know, some people cause happiness wherever they go. Other people cause happiness whenever they go. I don't want to be the second one. I want to be the first one. I want to bring joy and happiness and the love of God to people everywhere that I go. And I'm sure most of you are like that. Ephesians 2:10 is a beautiful verse. I love this. It comes straight after Ephesians 2:9. It's by grace you've been saved through faith. So we're not saved by our works. We're saved by God's grace. If you ask Jesus into your life today, you are saved by his grace, not by anything you do. You don't have to keep up a bunch of a ledger to make sure you're going to heaven. You are saved by grace. But then it says this, the very next verse, we are his workmanship created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God has prepared beforehand that we should walk in them. So right now, God is out there preparing 2024 so you can make a difference in the lives of others. Isn't that incredible? He's out there in advance, working it all out. He's already preparing new ways we can serve him and impact our community. I want 2024 to be an open door. And I'm already seeing plans for expansion this year. For us as a church, we're slowly but surely encroaching on the next few shops. So we've got a coffee shop that God willing, we're going to actually have progress reports happening again, and it's going to actually happen. Am I right, Tanya? That smile says yes. I'll take that as a yes. So the coffee shop is going to be developed, and that's going to be our foyer there. And then the shoe guy has graciously agreed to move on. And so we're going to actually get his shop as well. We're going to double the footprint of our church in the next year. Isn't that exciting? That's going to be our kids and our youth hall. You see, God's doing... Lily House is planning to extend into Grace Haven Cottages for victims of domestic violence. There's lots of things that are going to happen over this next 12 months, and I believe it's going to be an open door for us. I believe God's going to do amazing and incredible things. The question is, are you willing to join us and to look outward to see the opportunities God will present to us in the new year? Will you be like Isaiah, who in the presence of the Lord was just so humbled? And God said, the angel said, I'm touching your lips with this. Your lips are now pure. And then what did Isaiah do? He said, Lord, the Lord said, who am I going to send to these people? Who am I going to send? And Isaiah shot his hand up. He said, here am I, Lord, send me. Pick me. And so that's my question. In 2024, you can say, Lord, bless me. Or you can say, Lord, pick me. Let me be the one to go out and make a difference in someone's life. So what do we offer to God in 2024? It's the end of 1 year. It's the start of the next year. We can look back the right way, in a positive way. We can look up to Him. We can look inwardly. We can look outwardly. But what are we actually offering to God in this new year? Well, Malachi 1 verse 8 is the Lord rebuking His people because they were making offerings, but they were making lousy offerings. He says this, verse 8, when you offer blind animals in sacrifice, is that not evil? And when you offer those that are lame and sick, is that not evil? Present that to your governor. Will he accept you or show you favor, says the Lord of hosts. They were giving to the Lord the worst bits. They were giving to the Lord the bits left over. So they might have had a flock of sheep. They said, well, I really should make an offering to the Lord. And so they picked the lame one or the blind one or the least perfect one. I say, I can fob him off on the Lord, take him over and offer that. And look how great I am. Look, I'm giving an offering to the Lord. But God knew their heart. They were giving the dregs to Him. He's trying to refine them and scrape the dross off. They're saying, well, I'll just give you the dross. Why don't we give Him the best? Do you want a first-class God while offering a second-class worship? Do you give Him the leftover of your time, talents, and treasures after you have little or nothing left? Are you unwilling to be inconvenienced by involvement in the church? Do you avoid sacrificing for fellow believers or anyone else? You don't have to say you despise the Lord. You convey the same point by giving Him the worst of what you've got instead of the best. If you give Him your leftovers and also ask His blessing, I think you're not going to get a great 2024. I think if you give Him the best, then He will bless you with the best, because that's the God we serve. So it's time for a new look in the new year. I believe that if we take a new look in the new year, we too will hear God calling us in 2024. He's calling us to look back and grow our faith, to look up and see true glory of the glory of God Almighty, to look inwards and see our relationship with Him and deepen it and make it stronger, and to look outwards to see the needs and develop a greater sense of service in our community. And there will be opportunities to serve the Lord both here and in other places. You know, and even within the family of God, sometimes people are struggling and we can serve them. Do you have a heart to serve? This is my experience. If I serve others, I just get blessed. I don't have to pray, Lord, bless me. I just concentrate on serving others. He concentrates on blessing me. That's my experience. It's the same with giving. If I give freely, if I give, money just seems to come. If you're tight, try giving. Because He loves a generous spirit and He supernaturally brings money into us. It works with giving. It works with service. It works with everything, because God rewards the heart that is fully attuned to Him. So today we stand on the brink of a new year, and it's time to reflect and resolve what we will endeavor to do with what that new year brings. And again, we don't need New Year's resolutions. We need a new year revolution. And I believe we stand on the brink of something incredible in 2024. I've had people say to me, I think 2024 is going to be a terrible year. I don't. I think it's going to be an awesome year. I think it's going to be a stellar year. It's going to be off the charts because I'm focusing on him. I don't want to focus on the negative stuff. What if the world plunges into world war? Well, if it does, it does, but I'm concentrating on him. Because what if God prospers my life? What if God prospers ministry? What if God prospers the church? What if God does something amazing? Don't start the year focusing on the bad stuff. Lift your eyes to the hills and focus on him. And I want to challenge you and encourage you to take on a new look in the new year. What do you want to see in 2024? The process must begin by making sure you are in a right relationship with God. So draw a line under the past and look with faith to the future. If we all join together, I believe that we are stronger, don't you? And that's why I mentioned it last week. I'm going to mention it again. We've got some copies up there. I have written a Bible reading plan, and I believe it's really God's word to me, and I believe it's God's word to us. It goes through the whole of the Bible, just reading two chapters a day, the whole of the Bible in a year. It moves around. It's fast moving. It does, you know, Old Testament, New Testament, this sort of stuff. But it misses out some of the less exciting bits. So if you want to learn about Leviticus and skin diseases, I've written a supplement for you to do that. There's a third chapter. So there's the two chapters a day thing, which I'm going to ask you all to join us on. And then there's an extra one for those of you who go, you know what, I want to know about prophecies for Edom and Moab. I want to know about skin diseases in Leviticus. If that's you, there's a supplement. But at least do the two chapters a day. How hard is it? It takes probably about 7 minutes, maybe five, depending on how long the chapters are. But I tell you, if I am convinced if we do it together, there is power when we do it together. In unity, there the Lord bestows a blessing. You see, in Psalm 133, it says, how good and pleasant it is when brothers dwell together in unity. Right? And it's not saying it's good and pleasant because we're not fighting. Unity is not the absence of conflict. Unity is not being the same and being uniform. Unity is being different but pulling together. And God knows it. The Tower of Babel was destroyed by God because he said, if these guys get together in unity, there is no telling what they can do. So he got rid of that. Because God knows even for evil, there is a great power in unity. But how much more for good is there a great power in unity? So I think one way that we can get power, we can see open doors in every area of our church and our lives this year if we read the Bible together in sync. This has been happening with a number of board members, and it's amazing. We turn up at board meetings and we say, did you see what God said yesterday morning about? And it's just incredible. God speaks to all of us. It's amazing. So I'm going to ask you, take a chance, whatever you normally do for your quiet time. If you don't have a quiet time, start. A couple of minutes a day, just start. And if you do, just forsake it for a year. Join us and let's read the Word of God together because there is power in unity. Because I believe in 2024, Isaiah 43, you mentioned this earlier, Zonia, God says this, remember not the former things nor consider the things of old. Behold, I am doing a new thing. Now it springs up. Do you not perceive it? I will make a way in the desert and rivers in the wilderness. And God is going to make rivers in the desert right here in Nambour. If we are willing, if we join together in unity, it's time for a fresh start and an open door in 2024. And last year we consolidated. Last year we settled in, consolidated. That's fine. This year we take ground. This year we move ahead. Do I hear an amen? Because I don't want to sit here in 20 years' time and say, well, everything looks the same. I want to take some ground, don't you? I want to make a difference. The way we move ahead in our church and in our personal lives and in our families is by joining our faith together because together we are stronger. In unity, the Lord bestows a blessing. So let's pause, every one of us. Let's take the time to look at last year and let's make some decisions. Would you bow your head? Now I'm going to ask you, wherever you are, just to take a few moments, look at the last year. Are you satisfied? Is there more that you want to do with your life? Can you honestly look back on the last 12 months and say, that was the best year of my life? And if you can't, what can you do to change it for this year, that 2024 will be the best year of your life? Is there ministry you want to step into this year? I know some of you just can feel a hunger in your spirit. You want to minister. Maybe you've done it before and you miss it and you realize you want to start ministering. What is it? What did 2023 look like? And what do you want 2024 to look like? Well, let me tell you, if you're not a Christian, if you're sitting in this place because someone dragged you to church and you don't know Jesus, then you are missing out on the greatest life imaginable. So will it be business as usual in 2024? Well, unless you come to Jesus right at the start and let him shape your destiny, it's just going to be the same as 2023. It just is. He wants to change your life forever if you are willing to allow him. So let's start there. If you've never asked Jesus into your life, it is a simple process. You just say, Lord, I know I've sinned, and I ask you into my life as my Lord and Savior, and he will transform your life. So if you've never asked him into your life, or maybe you did a long time ago and you can't remember it, I want to make sure right now that you are right with God and that you are going to heaven. So if you've never asked him into your life, pray this with me, and together we'll do it right here, right now. Don't leave it another day. Who knows what tomorrow will hold? Today is the day for getting it right. Today, now, is the time of God's favor and salvation. So pray this with me. Say, Lord Jesus, I know that I've sinned. Right now I turn away from my sin and I ask you into my life as my Lord and Savior. Fill me with your Holy Spirit. And thank you for the gift of eternal life. Just as every head is bowed, every eye is closed, if you prayed that prayer for the first time or the first time in a long time, I'll just get you to shoot your hand up where you are. We're not going to bring you forward, but if that's you, just shoot your hand up so that we know and put it down very quickly. Praise God. Let's stand together. If you're a believer, just stand up and just continue in an attitude of prayer. Just keep your eyes closed. If you're a believer and you have needs coming into 2024, why not respond to his call today? So let me ask you, look back on 2023. What's been good? What's been bad? What do you regret? What did you wish for that didn't happen? And if it's of the Lord, I believe that he's going to make it happen in these next 12 months. So some of you here today need a healing. You've been praying for it. It hasn't happened. We need to join our faith with you and stand with you and pray for that. Some of you need finances. Some of you need a home. Some of you need a break in your ministry. Some of you have ministry inside of you that just doesn't seem to be anywhere to serve. You don't know what to do. You don't know where to go. I'm believing that God is going to open a door in 2024 for you. Some of you need a job. Some of you need your family brought back together. Whatever it is, I'm going to ask you to examine your heart. The Bible says, search me, O God, and know my heart. Just examine your heart now. If you have needs that need to be addressed this year, we want to stand with you. We want to believe with you. We want to trust God to see that happen. So we're just going to sing this beautiful song about the goodness of God. But as we sing it, I'm going to invite you to the front, and we're just going to pray with you here. There's no magic happens here. We just pray with people and we join our faith together. But when we get together, we are stronger. And some of you here have been struggling and grappling, and you feel like you haven't broken through this year. This is the moment. This is the year. And let's start it on the right foot. So as we sing, I'm going to invite you forward and we're just going to pray. We're just going to finish with a big prayer time at the front, praying and believing God for great things to happen this year. So what have you missed this last year? What hasn't worked? What have you prayed for that hasn't happened? You need to be here. We're going to believe and it's going to happen this year. to hear an amen. Let's sing together.